Jason won that match against Shane. And
here we are, another day, another podcast. Except for it's like another week, another podcast. So neither here nor there. We are joined with a new guest for the very first time today, Melina Mike. What's up, man?
Hey, Nate, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
You don't stand in the King's Chair.
Big fan. You do a really good job, so it's a real pleasure to be here.
Aw. See, this is how you get onto the podcast, people. I'm a sucker for flattery. Nice words. Nice words get you a long way with me. It's great.
I told Cody, like I mentioned before, ahead of time, on how much I enjoyed it. So if he didn't mention it, that was on him. But I sent that compliment a while back.
Yeah, Cody's a turd and never tells me anything. The hell, Cody. I guess anybody who is dark on Facebook and doesn't pay attention to your Facebook page, first, they probably should. So head over to Melina Mike and follow him. So make sure you follow him. He does a lot of stuff with the game. And why am I telling you all this? Tell us what you do on your Facebook page and why we need to get over and follow you.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, anything pool related, I try to do, from the action side of it to buying and selling cues. I'm always looking for stuff to go and sell, things to raffle. But I love the game. I love the players. I love covering it. I've been going to a lot more events this last year, which I had planned on and thankful, and I'm blessed to go and have accomplished those things. And but yeah, I'm just a real big fan of the game, and I try to just promote it in any way that I can. And it's kind of grown organically on all sides over the last few years. And yeah, I'm real fortunate, and you know, it wouldn't be without everybody who goes and buys into my stuff and has bought a cue from me or a tip from me or whatever. So for everyone, I really appreciate it very much.
Awesome. So I guess we can jump right into the podcast. I do have a couple things to get cleared up in the beginning. The shop is now live. I made a post on this on Facebook, and Chris Santana is working with me to get the rest of everything on the website. We still have a couple more things to add that you could basically just gotta, you know, order in bulk. So I ordered I think I ordered 400 patches, so I'll have patches up there soon, but until they all get made, we can't sell them because they don't make those one by one. But we'll have patches, which patches are, I don't know what pool players' fascination and obsession with patches are, but I'll have them.
I'm completely guilty of that. Yeah. I got a drawer full of them, and I collect them every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, pool players' obsession with patches is, it's just weird. I mean, I have my old case, not my new case, because my new queued up case is too perfect to add patches to, but my old case has, I don't know, probably 20-25 patches on it. Pool players love their patches.
Yeah, for sure. We always like to represent and what we're using, who we like. And yeah, I'm the exact same way. My case now does not have one single patch on it because it's made beautifully by my buddy Pedro. But yeah, my old one is definitely decked out. And like I said, I got a drawer. My laptop also, I mean, it's got patches all over it. My case on my laptop, full of patches. So yeah, I'll be expecting one in the mail, Nate. So keep me in mind.
Yeah, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. No, for sure. So you can find the new shop over at queuedappodcast.com. And there are going to be two shop tags because I have, I guess, kind of two shops. I have the t-shirt shop, which is, I'm still going to be doing the t-shirts on my own because I guess I have a bunch of equipment and a bunch of t-shirts, and it just seems like it makes sense to do those. So I'm going to continue doing those at least for the foreseeable future. And then the shop is the tab that you want to click on, and that will direct you to a different website where all of these other things are found. So if you are interested in getting other gear for the podcast, head over there and see what, I guess, is there. There's going to be more added eventually, so check back very soon and often. And make sure you buy at least one thing every single day. You know, the lights have got to stay on over here.
Got to support.
Yeah, is that going to work? You think that's going to work? I don't think that's going to work. That's okay.
I think your expectations might be a little high, but yeah, I'll for sure be buying a few things. You can count on that.
So I guess there's that, and I guess I don't really have too much else to get cleared up in the beginning. Is there anything that you would like to say?
No, just like I said, thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to talking all things pool. There's been a lot of exciting events going on that just got finished up and a lot of stuff coming up. So it's a really, really exciting time for the game right now.
It is. There has been a ton of stuff that's happened in this past week, and there's a bunch more coming up. So this will be a good episode. But we'll start out with our shout-outs. Would you like to give a shout-out on your very first podcast?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here. I guess a shout-out to you for having me on. I think you messaged me about sweating Alex and Sky and with your expensive bet, and then I think that's how all this got started. So a shout-out to you, Nate. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good because Rob doesn't actually listen to this podcast. So this is perfect for me to – We had the $20 bet. Rob and I always have $20 bets on all these matches because it's fun, right? And he actually came down and shot with me yesterday for about 6 hours and then somehow got sick out of it. So I'm not really sure what happened there. But he's home and he's got the flu now and he's feeling like he's going to die. And that's a bummer. So that's why he's not on today.
I hope he feels better.
Yeah, that's why he's not on today. But yeah, we played for about 6 hours yesterday and he paid up for all of his bets and for the t-shirt that we shipped over to Finland. So how cool is that?
You're all over the world, man. You're growing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But so that's why Rob's not here today. Yeah, so thanks for the shout out. I feel so special. My shout out this week will go to Alex Pegulayan. And I say Alex because, yeah, he got beat pretty bad, but the dude has heart and the dude has gamble. Like Friday night, for example, I mean, they ended up playing that extra set and he's playing on his own money. He just lost a set. Or he just lost a race at 25 to 11, I want to say, the first day. And then he turns around and wins 25-14 for, you know, 6,000, 3,000 ahead. And he's playing on his own money. And then, you know, when he's done with that, he goes, you know, after he loses to Sky in the entire match, he goes and plays Dodong Diamond for some more cash. The dude just has heart and he just gambles like crazy. It's cool to see that level of passion for the game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you tag your lion and getting the nickname the lion is one thing, but to say about someone that you have a heart of a lion, it's a completely different thing. And nothing, it doesn't fit anybody more than it does to Alex. He is, without a doubt, he'll give up the nuts to go and outrun him, and more often than not, he can outrun him. But what happened that first night, yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, to go and lose the way that he did and then to go, you know, start barking for an action match afterwards and get it, and then to go and win it in the fashion in which he did, that's Alex in a nutshell. I mean, he's that kind of guy. So mad respect for him.
Yeah, seems like a fitting shout out. Well, I guess with that, we can jump right into what actually happened and we can start talking about it. So the first one we can talk about is, why don't we talk about Alex and Sky first, because that was, you know, a pretty pretty fitting matchup since we were kind of talking about it. We put a little sweater on it. I got to hedge, yeah. I got to hedge out of my bet on the podcast because I didn't feel good about this match from any side. In hindsight,
yeah,
I mean,
the heart of a lion does not fit you so well, Nate, after you were trying to get out of your bet the very first night.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one match. I guess we had already talked about Sky winning 3-0, and he wins, I guess we'll give the result. He wins 25-11 and then 25-19, and then I believe the last set was 25-14. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something very close to that on each day. And Alex or Sky wins three straight sets. So, and this kind of goes back to I wasn't feeling good about this match because I haven't seen Alex play all that much in the last few years, and maybe that's a testament to his game slipping just a little bit. He's not playing in the finals of some of these bigger events, but I mean, I just didn't see his name in the field as many events as I have in the past. And I guess maybe I'm kind of holding on to the memory that I have of him 3 to 4 or 5 years ago, and maybe that's just not the Alex that exists anymore. You know, Father Time is undefeated, and Sky's coming into his prime. I don't know exactly why. I think Alex 4 years ago would have been a really, really tough match for Sky, but that could just be me holding on to a false memory.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, man. I think besides the last 2.5 years, Sky's been known to dominate the bar box, and he's had that. He, he's had that kind of air about him where he was just a bar box player, you know, and then he goes and breaks out of that and starts playing more big table events and dominating. But I agree with you on Alex's game, but yeah, he's shown a lot over last year. Surprised the hell out of me. I mean, he gave Bergman all he could handle in the international, and we all know what kind of run that Justin had at the international. So for him to go and have that kind of match, which is one of the more exciting matches not on the live stream, says a lot. He can go and adapt. Obviously, we all know how well he can move. If anything, you know, his break is suspect. But, yeah, on a bar box, two guys at their level, I mean, it's gambling. And Alex showed that. I mean, despite the fact that he lost to Sky 3-0, you can't go and forget about the fact that he beat him in that, you know, money match the very first night, 25-14 or whatever it was. And that second set, mind you, you know, he was up big the whole set. I think Sky took the lead at like 20-19 or something. So it could have gone, you know, a very different way for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a match of big swings. The very first day, the very first match, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right, I think Sky jumped out to 9-0. And then then Alex gets it back to 10-7, and then from there it kind of just got I guess 10-7. It ended up going 15-4 from there. So it definitely was a match of big swings. And as far as the match itself, the difference in my mind was definitely the break. Sky's break was just consistent. It was one, maybe two balls every single time. Squatting the rock and, you know, just having a shot on that one ball. The one ball was always drifting down to the top right corner, and it seemed like he was having, you know, that thin little cut into that corner pocket and being able to do whatever he wanted to do in the world with his cue ball. Alex was feast or famine. He was making 5-6 balls a pop and scratching, or he was breaking dry, and there was almost no in between. It was crazy to see the fluctuation in breaks, the feast or famine kind of break styles that Alex was getting at.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to go up 9-0 the way that Sky did, and I mean, there were moments in that match where Alex kind of has a weird break where he doesn't get that traditional pop and squat like you'll see from some of the big 10-ball breakers, like you'll see from a Shane or a Shaw or a Chang. Alex kind of has this, you know, kind of push shot of a break, but there were times in that match where, I mean, it was beautiful. He was getting wing balls. He was getting close four railers, you know, and that one ball was drifting by the bottom left. And I think that's why he stayed in it the way that he did. And like you said, the very first day, you know, 9-0 down to make it 10-7. Bar box is a lot of swings, you know, win or break. You can't inspect the rack. It, you know, he did his best as he could have, all things considered, I think, that first day.
I agree. Did you? So what was your takeaway as to why you thought Sky won then? Was it, I think the breaks, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, Sky's a completely different player over the last 2 years than he had been before. Sky does not quit. He doesn't ease up whenever he's playing tournament or otherwise. He sees a little bit of blood and, you know, he steps on your throat, man.
Yeah,
you
know, and he definitely seems to have that Michael Jordan type of
yeah,
you know, slit your throat to your opponent
kind
of stuff.
The last day, you know, he was up big, and then that little foul on the five or whatever it was, you know, and he was up big at that point. He still, like, you know, he didn't want to let it go, and, you know, for the right reason. I mean, there was a foul, so, and he goes for it, man, and he does have a really solid break. I think spending time with Shane over the last few years has really helped him go and spend just that much more attention to it. So his 9-ball break is, I'd say, top 3 in the world, and his 10-ball break is getting there, you know. But on a bar table, he's got it. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's and that's kind of the fun thing about this money match, I guess, is it's going to be the first of the belts given away, and I don't think that there's any question at this point who deserves that belt and who is the true bar box king, at least in the short term. I think Sky really put an emphasis and a stamp on being the bar box king.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, I give all the credit in the world to Alex and to Roy for putting them in. I mean, to go and have that be your first match and have Sky in there. And I think everybody in the world would go and agree on a bar table. sky's the man right now. And even though he's been playing more big table events than he has, or I guess what I should say is been winning more big table events lately. Don't get it twisted. Sky still is still the man when it comes to the bar table. So, and he proved it over the last few days. So,
for sure. It'll be really interesting to see what happens with another big table matchup coming up soon with John Mora and Justin Bergman. Do you think the winner of that might earn the right to challenge Sky?
Well, for my money, I think Bergman is right there as far as being a great bar table player. Bar table A ball, though, I mean, it showed that Corey's break, you know, this past year was tough to fade. Given John, you know, 10 games on the wire, that seems like a lot.
That seems like a really,
yeah,
really
that's
lot.
A lot. Yeah, and John, but John didn't, when I saw John play Alex Olinger, you know, Alex was sick, and there were times where John didn't look, you know, as sharp as I guess I would expect from, you know, a pro of his caliber, but still, I mean, you're giving up, you know, 10 on the wire to 100, that's, I don't know, man. It's going to be a good one, and all respect to Justin for giving it up, and his backers believe in him, and rightfully so. I mean, I know that Justin go and put together packages, but if they're playing bar table with 8-ball at least, yeah, I would have to say Corey would have to be there first. But 10-ball, yeah, I mean, Justin is known to be one of the best Americans after the break, but his break is, you know, can go and handle its own on a bar table, so...
Yeah.
But it's tough. I mean, they're friends, you know, so him and this guy have a lot of history together. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I had the luxury of actually getting to chat with John Mora a little bit right after, actually on his way back from playing Alex, and I got to hear a little bit of how that match actually came about, and it didn't take much negotiations. There was one offer made by Justin Bergman, and there was one counteroffer made. And the counteroffer was rejected, basically, and they met at that basically the same number that they started with, which is the 10. So there's not a lot of negotiations. It's a game that both of the players like, and a game that both of the players think that they can win. And I mean, we won't talk too much about this because this is a little ways out still. But yeah, we can. I think that this is going to be a good match to look forward to in the future. I personally love the bar table matchups, so it doesn't take a lot to get me excited about them.
No, yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, pros playing bar table, it's a crapshoot, and they're going to be gambling, and there's going to be a lot of swings. When you're playing that long of a race, it's anybody's game for sure. So, but there's also some exciting, you know, things. You know, one guy goes and misses the ball. There's a little bit of safety play if things are tied up. I mean, there's excitement in watching them go and play on a bar table. And, but yeah, and it seems like that's where a lot of the action is going to, you know, so everyone seems to want to match up on a bar table over the last few months. So, it's a great time for pool, man. A lot of money moving around. So I'm always a fan of that.
Yeah. There's always some good opportunities to watch some good pool and to learn as a fan. So I guess we can wrap up our discussion of that there, and we can move on to the WPBA Ashton Twins Classic. This was a ladies event that was held in Canada, and it's the women are so spoiled with their organization at the top. I shouldn't say spoiled because they're easy to work with. I mean, that's why the WPBA exists. The men historically have always wanted more and have always demanded more. And, you know, when you demand too much of organizations, they either fold or they find a way to make it work. And it's really hard to make anything work in the game of pool. So, the women luckily still have an organization that supports them, and that is the WPBA. And so, yeah, this was an event held up in Canada, and there was about 50 players, and there is a ton of money in this. First place goes to Allison Fisher, who nets $10,000 for that. Jennifer Beretta gets second place and nets $5,600. Christina Tkach, third place, $4,500. Wei Su Chin gets fourth place and nets $3,400. Fifth, sixth goes to Brittany Bryant and Janet Atwell, both getting $2,400. Seventh, eighth goes to Jia Li and Lynn Korsket, and seventh, eighth gets $1,715. Going back to 9th through 12th, there's $1,200, 13 through 16, 900. 17 through 24th, 600. I mean, this is if, in a men's event. This is almost. I mean, it's like the U.S. Open, for example, is much more top heavy with first place and stuff like that. But I don't know that the U.S. Open paid $600 back for 17th through 24th last year. If they did, it wasn't much more than that. The women, I mean, this is just a random WPA women's event. There is a lot of money in this. It's actually possible to make money as a women's professional pool player these days, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, they're doing a great job. And just like you said, they have a great organization. The women, more so than the men, I mean, they all really go and have a lot of love for each other. The cream tends to rise to the top, but when you get, you know, the final 6 to 8 players, I mean, any one of them could go and win it. I mean, for sure, Allison was a favorite, but, you know, Wade could have won that event, no doubt. Christina and the run that she's had over the last 6 months could have won that event.
Jennifer Brett has been playing good pool.
Yeah, I mean, she played. I mean, some of her matches were phenomenal. I happened to stumble on those on Facebook and shared them whenever I could. And they had a lot of viewers, man. I mean, people still want to tune in and watch these women go and play. You know?
Yeah, so there was regularly 900 to 1200 people that were watching this. I actually had a viewing party at my apartment, a small viewing party for my friend Maria. And the match didn't go her way exactly, but you know, there was 600 to 800 people watching her match, and it was just her and I don't even remember who she played against. I mean, it's like if you're not in the same area as the two players, you wouldn't even know who they were. And there was still 600 to 800 people watching it. So I mean, this definitely seems to be a pretty good organization that's really doing a lot to help the women's players, which is good to see.
I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. And the great thing is that a lot of these women go and travel. You know, they're coming from all over the world, especially off the heels of the World Championships, which just finished up that, you know, Kelly had won. So to see that many players go and make their way over there, it shows a lot how committed they are. They want their rankings. They want to maintain sponsorships. And like I said, people just want to see women go and play, you know, a beautiful lady, and they play the game at a top level. You know, it's a win-win. So, it's really great to go and see.
Yeah. So, we can move on from that, and we can move on to, James and Alex. I guess we probably could have talked about this after Alex and Sky, but we'll tackle it now. James and Alex played a small little, I don't know, like an exhibition match, and we won't talk too much about what actually happened, but they played about 500 a man, I think, is what you thought they played for, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there. And that's had an effect over the last few days for me. And thanks to Roy, if he's watching, for, you know, starting to stream that at 3 o'clock in the morning, my time. So, of course, I was able to get a few bets in, and it was really funny. They started off playing a race to 17. Dodong was up big. Alex comes storming back, makes it hill-hill. And then they start talking about, you know, a double the bet, start over again. And to my surprise, and what's affected my sleep schedule so much, they decided to. So they ended up starting back over to zero, but a race to 21. I think Alex goes up 2-0 not second set because they started over, but Alex was up 2-0. Then Dodong wins like 8 or 9 in a row, and I'm like half asleep at this point. And then I wake up maybe like 30 minutes later, and it's 15-5, and this is like at 5 a.m. my time. So then I fall asleep thinking everything's all good. I'm going to collect my money here in a few hours, no problem. I wake up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock Central Time, and I bring up the stream thinking that it's already over and I'm just going to fast forward to the end, and they're still playing, and it's 19-18. So from 15-5, Alex comes back and makes it 19-18. And then Dodong ended up winning it. So for it being as late as it was, yeah, it was a really, really exciting match.
So exciting that you fell asleep twice.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm old, you know, I'm old and I got kids, so I gotta prioritize. You know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was able to stay up and watch world championships and all the events in China and, you know, stay up all night and, you know, sleep during the day. I can't fade that anymore, you know. So I at least got to get in a little bit here or there.
Yeah. I guess the main reason we're bringing this one up is because this is all going to be archived on Roy's wall. So if you wanted to watch this match, it's saved over there. You can head over there and watch it. And the fun part about it being recorded and not live is you can, you know, fast forward through all the intermediate stuff and, you know, just get some really good pool action. And I mean, it's hard to find a better match from what it sounds like. Big swings, and it was close down the stretch, which is, you know, what you kind of hope for, and what we unfortunately haven't really gotten access to over the last couple big matchups is kind of been blowouts from start to finish, or at least from, you know, intermediate on. So,
right. And I mean, I think Shane and Dennis was one thing, but this even, like I said, even though it was 3-0 with Alex and Sky, Alex was up that second set also day two. So, but it seemed like whenever he had led the whole match and then Sky came back and won it, it kind of took his, you know, wind out of his sails for the third set. But yeah, I mean, on paper, even though it was, you know, 3-0, the match was a lot closer than that. And it was pretty exciting to watch. So whatever Roy is doing, and I know he's got a lot cooking, I just hope he keeps it up. For every one, you know, loudmouth hater out there on Facebook or wherever else, there's, you know, hundreds and thousands of other people rooting him on and appreciate everything that he does. So just keep it up, Roy. We're with you, buddy.
Yep, bingo. I echo that completely. The last event that we can talk about is, so I don't really know a lot about this. A listener sent this in. Mike Navarez sent this in, and I guess there was a bit of a matchup, I guess, between Arizona and Las Vegas, or Nevada, I guess. And they did, looks like six players, and they did a Moscone Cup style event. And I'm not exactly sure what a lot of the details are on this. Like I said, this was sent to me. But so they capped the Fargo at 4,000, and then they, I guess, did a Moscone Cup style event with $250 entry fee per player. And then it looks like the bar added about 1,500. So this was actually streamed to Facebook, which is pretty cool. And they did lag for break, nine ball, magic rack, all the Moscone Cup style, race to five, two ball in the back. You know, basically literally the same exact rules as Moscone Cup. And they had some really good players in this. Nick De Leon was in this event. Vilmos Foldes, Mitch Ellerman, Max Eberle. I mean, there was a lot of really, really good players. I mean, as far as the 12 players, I mean, what do you have, six players with a 4,000 cap? What does that come out to be? Average of like 675, so.
Right, yeah. No shortstops. I mean, there was a few, but yeah, for the most part, they're some pretty top guys there.
Yeah, definitely top amateur. Definitely top amateur players. Some, and it's at least three, you know, touring pros with Vilmos, Max, and Mitch. I mean, those are all touring pros. Sure. Yeah.
Hey, Max's game over the last 9 months, I know, because I've bet and lost money, you know, going against Max's game has stepped up. And Vilmos is always in the thick of it out there on the med state. And then Mitch was competing for, you know, Moscone Cup, not this past year, but I think the year before. And he can play. He can play. So all three of them,
Fargo,
man, they can beat anyone.
Absolutely. They're definitely top players. And so the conclusion of it was Vegas wins 11-8. And Arizona was up, you know, decently throughout at the end of day one, they were up 6-5. And, you know, then they got it up tied up to 11-8, looks like. And then Vegas ended up closing it out 11-8. So, I mean, this would be like a really, really cool idea, an event to do if you live anywhere near like a state line, or, you know, maybe even, you know, if you don't have state lines close to you, maybe just like, you know, between cities. This would be like a really cool idea and event to hold.
Yeah, I know that there's plenty of there's a few events that are like that. I know I've seen Border Wars, like I mentioned before, Colorado and Wyoming go and do this, and I'm sure there's a few others here in the South that go and do it also. If there was a way to get it more organized and get more states involved, it could be something pretty huge, you know, for pool and get a lot of eyes on there. You know, guys that people know. I mean, it's one thing to be a fan of a pro and we follow their career and things like that. But if it's like your buddy you go and shoot with that plays super strong, that you see him out there and he's representing for your state, I mean, that's a whole nother level of support you go and give those guys because you know them personally.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, this is going to, if you know that you're going to be representing your state, I mean, it's your training regimens for this is going to be, you know, tenfold what you'd probably do on your own. And on top of that, if you're anywhere close to that shortstop, Fargo, which I'm not exactly, you know, knocking on the door, but I'm pretty close. You know, I'm 660 Fargo. I would love to, you know, that might juice me up a little bit to want to play a little bit to try to get up to that 690, 700 where I could play in something like this. That'd be really good motivation. This would be good.
Screwing it together, Nate. You know, yeah. Start putting the queue together.
Yeah, it's definitely about building the hype and building the love and building the passion. This would be a fun idea to do. So all you organizers
out there.
Well,
listen, you got a great platform here, right, that you go and do. So use it and start, you know, getting organized. And, you know, if nobody else is doing it, let's do it yourself and get some sponsors and promoters involved and, yeah, make it happen, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to pawn off my responsibilities on the listeners. All you listeners, do all my work for me because I have enough on my plate. Yeah. Yep, I agree. So we can move on now. I guess those are all the events. Oh, no, we were going to talk about the Chinese 8-ball because you watched a lot of this, and I wasn't able to watch a lot of it. But why don't you talk a little bit about that event and what your takeaways were?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the most exciting events in pool, in my opinion. Chinese 8-ball is such a difficult game, and if you ask any top player who has played it, they'll go and tell you the same thing. I mean, for an amateur, it'll just torture you, and even for those guys, it's, you know, it's frustrating. But yeah, it's a beautiful game to go and watch. I think there was guys like Kachi and Albin and Corey and Shane, of course, that were in it. Guys who, you know, like your average fans would go and know, of course. I don't think any of them, well, except for Albin, but the other three didn't get through to the top 16, I think. So Albin made it to the semis.
But I do think all of those players made the top 32. I think they all just lost in that round, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, 17th through 32nd place. And that, even then, I mean, hey, for the field that was there, I think it was 128 players, if I'm not mistaken. So to be in that big of a field and make it through, I mean, all the respect in the world to them. I want to say top prize was six figures. So it's a pretty big payday. Joy and that organization that handles the Chinese 8-ball, they do a really great job. So, and it was an exciting match. I think the finals came down to was Hill, because they have a race, but they also have a time limit. So if you don't get to the end of the race, then they stop it. Who's ever ahead wins the match. Or if it's tied, then they go into a shootout. And the finals, it actually ended up happening. So it was Hill. The guy was running out. Shoe was running out. He dogged the ball, which, I mean, it was a tough shot, but he missed it. And time ran out, so it was Hill. They went to a shootout, and he actually wins in the shootout, beating what I found out later was his mentor to the game. So it was pretty poetic and a real exciting match to go and watch. The whole event was great, though.
Yeah, it's if it agreed a little bit more with my sleep schedule, I wouldn't have minded watching a little bit more of this, but watching something at, you know, the wee hours of the morning is not exactly my cup of tea at this point. We'll leave that stuff to people like you with all your crazy sleep schedule stuff.
Yeah. One day I'll get sleep when my kids are older.
Yeah. So I guess with that, we can move on to the events coming up this week because there are a bunch of good ones again.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff coming up, from one pocket action to Turning Stone to, I mean, you name it, it's coming up. Derby's on its way. So yeah, it's great for pool.
Yeah. I have a Facebook open right now. And apparently Eugene posted, my social media mogul, Eugene posted that, the Dodong Diamond and Sean Wilkie matchup that's happening the day before Turning Stone, and then Turning Stone, and then Boosty and Corey Duell. So, I mean, there are a bunch of big matchups this week that are going to be, you know, they're going to be some good viewing. This isn't going to be great for the sleep schedule either, looks like.
No. Well, at least they'll be in, you know, decent time zone. So I'm grateful for that. And that Dodong and Sean Wilkie match, do not sleep on it. It is Wilkie beat Shane in that same format right before Turning Stone last year.
Yep,
so for everybody saying that does not have a chance, you are mistaken. So Sean can for sure go and play. I want to say that's, if not his home room, like he's comfortable out of that room at least. So, and I think they switched up from 9-ball to 10-ball. And listen, I love Dodong playing 10-ball, but I, in my opinion, I think his better game is 9-ball. So I'm really excited to see him and Sean go and get to play. And they're gambling, and there's money between them. I know I saw a post from Roy earlier saying that he was sending money with Dodong to go and gamble. And actually, so whenever I first found out about that match, I posted a picture of the flyer. And James had messaged me, and he says, "Hey, you're betting on me?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, man. Why wouldn't I?" So he said, "Okay, see if you can find me some action. I want to bet my own." So, and more on the rail. But there's guys who believe in Sean who are putting him in, or putting Sean in, I should say. So it's going to be a good match, and it's going to be close.
Well, perfect. I'll take Dodong, and you can take Sean. You just made the case for Sean.
You give me Dodong's been coming as a favorite. So if you're gonna want to bet, you at least got to give me something on the money line, maybe a few on the wire. I don't know. We'll try to figure it out.
Sounds good. So that is going to be streamed by TV Mike, it sounds like. So if you do not have a TV Mike subscription and you want to watch this, you can head over and get one to his streaming service. And then that is going to be taking place, I guess, on the 8th, which is, well, I guess that's today. So, cool. Starts today. I'm going to have to get this episode out pretty quickly after this, it looks like.
Hold on. Wait, which starts today? Turning Stone?
No, the Dodong and Sean.
Oh, that is today. Man, I got to get on it, man. I'm falling behind over here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get this wrapped up. So that starts today, and then Turning Stone starts tomorrow, and then Boosty and Corey start on Friday, and that is being streamed by Pool Action TV. So if you want to watch that matchup, head over there and get that stream. Who do you like in that match?
Oh, boy. You know what? I've been wrestling with this for
it's a tough one.
A while now. Ever since I first found out about it, I love Corey's creative game in one pocket. He's one of my favorite one pocket players to go and watch. Boosty, as everybody knows, you know, won Derby last year. But you know, I haven't seen Boosty go and play in the last, you know, 6 months. You know, so yeah, I'm not sure. I'm leaning on Corey though, but I know there's going to be a lot of guys wanting to go and bet on Bustamante. So yeah, it's a flip, I think, for sure.
I think this is about as close to a flip as possible. You kind of think that all the top one pocket players just kind of play, you know, kind of the same game, the same speed. They all know the same moves. But, you know, if there's a contrast of one pocket games, it's kind of these two. Boosty is just kind of your solid, regular, normal, you know, he just does all the right moves in all the right times. And, you know, he, on top of that, he may be a top two or three banker in the entire world. He banks the ball so good. And Corey is like really creative. He does a lot of really weird moves that, you know, they seem to always work out, but you kind of scratch your head and be like, whoa, I didn't see that shot. So it's funny. It's fun to watch him play one pocket. I agree with you big time about that one. He's a very creative player.
Yeah, he can take some flyers sometimes and either look like a genius or, you know, sometimes have you scratching your head. But like you said, more often than not, you know, he's coming out looking clean on the other side. And, yeah, without a doubt, Bustamante's banking is just sick. I'm curious to find out what kind of table they're playing on. For me, that'll go and play a factor on, you know, which side I'm going to go and take. But, yeah, I don't know how to go and call. Like, when, you know, Sky and Alex for me was a little easier. I thought, you know, with Sky's history, I think Sky was going to go and take it. Ended up working out. But I think this is, it's gambling, man. It's going to be close. It's going to be real close.
Yeah, for sure. So those are the matchups that are going to be coming up this week. We can now move on, I guess, to the end of the podcast. All right. Are you ready for my awesome trivia for the Moscone Cup, part two?
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it.
Okay, so these are all going to be Europe questions. Five European countries have had more than 10 non-unique players represented at the Moscone Cup over the years. Can you name some of these five countries? So basically, the five countries with at least 10 players representing them.
Oh, boy. 10 players?
Well, 10 times being represented by a player. So for
10 times. Okay.
Yeah, so for example.
Okay, so for sure, Great Britain, right, with Darren
England,
and,
yep.
and Carl. Let me think. Niels. So where's he from? The Netherlands?
Netherlands, yep.
Let me think. Who else has been a multiple time Moscone Cup? And this is tough. Okay. Well, I don't know if you consider Shamat because he's been a player and a coach. I'm not even sure what country he's from, to be honest with you.
he's one of the Norwegians. Well,
okay, well, then is he one of them? Is that one of them? Can you give me a little,
yes, Sweden.
A little hint there?
Yep, Sweden.
Sweden, okay.
The last two. I'll give you a hint on these. The last two players have been there 10 times each. Have had a player that has been on there at least 10 times each. The last two.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Germany.
Yep, Ralf Suke.
Ralf, yeah. And my gut is telling me to go with, where is, what's his name, bald-headed guy? Vandenberg. Where's Nick from?
Nick Vandenberg is also Germany.
Germany. So was it, can I guess German twice?
No, not quite.
No. Okay, I'm stumped on the last one then. That's
Mika.
Yeah.
Mika Eminen.
Mika Finland. Okay,
Finland.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was close.
That was pretty good. You got four of the five. That's pretty good. Which European country have had the most players represented and the most unique? It's the same.
The most unique.
So the most unique number of players and the most amount of players represented. So most times being represented and then the most time being represented by unique players.
Well, I think it had to be Great Britain because you have Imran, you have Carl, Darren,
Peach, Mark Gray. Yep, it's England.
Mark Gray. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's been quite a few out of there.
Lots. Yeah. We're not even scratching the surface yet.
Right.
This country has had only one player represented in the Moscone Cup, but that player has been in the Moscone Cup 15 times. Name this player and country.
Mika?
Mika Eminen.
Yeah.
And the country? Okay. You already said it.
Well, you kind of gave it away earlier. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave a little bit of a hint. Okay. So question four. Austria has only had one representative. Can you name him?
Albin,
yep. Mario was supposed to be, but...
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. So there are...
Hey, listen, for my money, for the record, Mario to me has been the most consistent Austrian outside of the Moscone Cup.
Oh, yeah. He plays good.
Two years. Really good. Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, he carried Albin during the World Cup of Pool Championship that they won. He's been solid for the Euro events. So, yeah, Mario, he deserves to be there. But you got a little guy who was in the finals of the international coming up. So it's not just those two guys going and fighting.
Max Leishman is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got that one too easily. Scotland has also only had one. Can you name that player?
Well, I've never heard of the guy. Eagle Eye.
Okay. I assumed that was sarcasm. But
yeah, it was.
How about Spain?
Oh, David, yeah. The World Pool Master, the bank of the year, the shot of the year. That was a pretty exciting match. Yeah, David plays with a lot of passion. He obviously showed his fearless.
He's one of my favorite players.
And,
I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's a really solid player. He needs to play more, though, more big events and have more consistency for me, but
I agree.
In the World Pool Masters, he shows up, man. And that year, I mean, the bracket that he was in, I think it included Niels and Shane, and so
oh, yeah, he went through monsters.
Not a favorite to get out of there. Yeah, he played tough match of a tough, and I mean, in that field, it's always going to be a tough match. But that side of the bracket, I remember though, it had Niels and Shane in there, and both those guys have won, and they know what it takes. And yeah, David came through, and that match with Alex, Alex. Yeah, just banked the ball the same way. I don't understand for the life of me, but whatever. I'll let it go.
I didn't hate the shot, though. I mean, I didn't hate it. I thought it was a fine shot. I mean, that shot is – I mean, we don't have to go on this tangent, but I mean, David Al-Qaidi, he's not 50-50 to make that shot. He's probably not 20% to make that shot. Oh. He just came with a big shot at a big time.
No, 20, you're, no, no. 50-50, I think, is – I think it may be a little bit more, actually. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think
those are tight pockets. Those are real tight pockets.
Well, he left the cue ball on the rail, and he left the object ball on the rail. So he's got a lot of credit for that, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it was a straight back, though. Yeah. And you're hill. You got the whole world watching. You know, the whole pool world is watching that match. I mean, we all know Alex can go and feel the heat, but you got to go and at least – you got to fight for it, you know. You have to go and go down swinging, in my opinion.
I like the idea
and
of
he
him.
Had just – I like he the had idea just banked of, well, in that same game. He yeah. just banked a
he
silver
did.
Shot
two balls,
that same game.
Two balls earlier. I like the idea of him just playing better positioning and then none of this happens. Although it's pretty exciting to see it.
No, I mean, it made for great television. Yeah. I'm sure Emily and the matchroom team love that. You know,
oh, yeah, for
it,
sure.
It was the shot of the year. But, yeah, you can tell,
year.
Like, each shot was kind of like he was getting a little bit more out of line. And then on that eight ball, you know, he kind of jumped up whenever he saw where it was going. And, yeah, he ended up in that funky position, but still, man, hearing Billy go and talk about during their press conference about
that was
him
funny.
Banking that ball was, I mean, it was great. It was the best thing I've seen all year.
Yeah, that was funny. I was there live for that. That was fun. So how about Malta? Going back to the same question. So Malta has had one representative. Can you name him?
Tony Drago, is he from Malta?
That's, you're good at this, man. You're good. Well, this is an easy one. Albania.
Well, Kachi, of course.
Of course, yep.
It's a shame, man. It's not going to be a derby along with Fedor. Something needs to change.
Bummer.
Something definitely needs to change. You can't have young talent like that going. Yep. Miss out probably top five event of the year, you know? So, and especially because both those guys are so good for action. I mean, golly, it's a real shame.
Yep. Okay, how about... France. How about Northern Ireland?
Oh, Northern Ireland. Boy. No.
I'll give you a hint. This is a snooker player and a very famous one. He's very good at choking in the finals.
Oh, boy, that's a big statement. I should know this. I should know it. No. All right, go ahead.
Alex Higgins.
Let's hear it. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, you know, listen. Yeah, well, he does choke sometimes.
He's had a tough stretch in a couple of really big events. I know he's 0-5 in one of the majors. It might be the Masters that he's 0-5 in the finals in.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. But, I mean, hey, he got there, right?
You know? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
More than you can say for us. We're just a bunch of scrubs.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, how about Ireland? Can you come up with Ireland's or Italy's? Those are the last two.
Italy, Fabio Ricci?
Yep. Petroni, or I think it's Petroni.
Well, Petroni. Yeah, okay. So well, I got the first name right away.
Good enough.
Okay, and then Ireland. No.
This is one I wouldn't have gotten either. Tommy Donian.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, question five. There have been two multi-time winners of the Moscone Cup MVP on the European side. Can you name them? And how many they have?
How many they have, I probably can't name. But for my money, I'm going to have to... Multi-time winner and MVP, you said?
Sorry, multi-time Moscone Cup MVP.
Okay, so Niels would be one, for sure. Yep. And boy, he had a tough year this year.
Yes, he did.
And Darren. Has to be Darren, I think.
It is Mika with two and Niels with four.
Wow. Well, I'm surprised Darren's not there. He's never won an MVP before.
Darren has not. Darren has not won a multiple time Moscone Cup MVP.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. There's the word.
You did really well with Europe, though. That's like crazy.
Yeah, I follow a lot more European events than I do American events, because American just has some of the events aren't as great. I mean, besides the obvious ones, a lot more bar table.
The Euro Tour is insane.
I mean, the money isn't great, but the quality of talent there each time, it's unreal. Yeah. I mean, it's unreal how deep those events can get.
Every tournament, it seems like there's one more player that you've never heard of that just like beats six monsters.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No doubt.
Well, I guess we'll use that as our discussion topic so we can wrap it up. We have no tidbits because Rob's not here, but we can still give advice. We could give our tip. Do you have a tip for us?
Do I have a tip for you? No. Stay down. Stay down and follow through.
Stay down, follow through. That seems to be a decent one still.
Yeah.
I gave a tiny little jumping lesson yesterday, and I like to give a little physics lesson every time I give a jumping lesson, and this is kind of what it is. So this is what I always tell people, like pretty much the first 5 minutes, I'll just basically talk about a little bit about basic physics. And so if you have a cue ball jumping over an object ball to strike another object ball, you know, your standard jump shot, there is a certain amount of force required to drive that cue ball over the next ball to basically pocket your ball, to get over the intermediate ball to pocket your ball. For anybody who out there who doesn't remember high school physics, the equation for force is mass times acceleration or mass times velocity squared, which is the same as acceleration. So the amount of force is there's just a certain number. It's just some number. And the only thing that you're able to change is your mass or your acceleration to increase your force. Well, the mass is fixed because you have a jump cue. I mean, that is your mass. It's whatever your jump cue is. So the only thing that you're able to actually change is your acceleration. So if you're having a problem basically getting over balls when you're jumping, the only thing that you can change is your acceleration. So you need to swing basically your jump cue just a little bit faster. So I guess that will be my tip for today is just if you're having problems with your jump cue and you're not doing very well as far as, you know, getting over balls, try just accelerating a little bit quicker through the cue ball and see what that does for your trajectory of the cue ball. So I guess with that, I will thank Ace. Yeah. It's the joys of being a mathematician, right? So I guess with that, we can wrap it up. I will thank a sponsor, and I will thank this week John Barton again, because a couple people got to see my case for the first time. It's been a long hiatus with all the holidays for like pool league. So today was the first time that we've had pool league in the last 3 weeks, or I should say last night was. And a lot of people got to see my new case for the first time, and I got so many insane compliments on it. It was awesome. And it's always, you know, everybody, John Barton definitely has a reputation around the game, and he makes just insanely high quality cases. So if anybody's out there looking for a new case, absolutely head over to jbcases.com and look at getting yourself a custom case or one of the ones that they already have made up. You will not be disappointed, I promise. And with that, we can wrap up the podcast. Mike, thanks for joining, and you're a great co-host for the day. Thanks for joining me.
Well, I appreciate it. It's my pleasure, and it's a real honor. Like I said, what you're doing, Nate, just keep it up. I know I look forward to it every week, and you ask a lot of great questions. You get great guests on there, myself excluded from that list. But no, you really do a great job, and what you do for the game is outstanding. It's the direction that the game needs to go in. So mad respect, much kudos, and yeah, keep it going, brother.
And I mean, we're gonna be changing games on the grassroots level. So I thank you for the work that you do on Facebook as well. You do a lot of stuff to promote the players, a lot of stuff to promote the matches, and
I appreciate that.
Well, I guess thanks again, and till next time.
Have a good one, bro. Thank you. Thanks for coming to my party. Now that we're all wrapped, bro.
It's time to go home.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Q Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, The Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com, and Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.